What a year. It has simply been amazing. God has given us the opportunity of being in 43 of our churches to share the Word of God, and also to be in 15 other churches, to be able just to be there in attendance and to be able to enjoy the churches. I just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity of being your state rep and wife. It is a great privilege. And we realize we have a lot to do, but it's a great opportunity to share with you again, even this afternoon. We're talking about, it's all about the gospel. And I'm reminded today that we're bound by the word and to each other for the sake of the gospel. That's what we're all about. And as you think about with me about this 2018 conference, the series of messages that are going to be shared and also the workshops that we're having are all focused upon the Bible's presentation of the gospel. We want a clear theology that is balanced with God's truth. And as we understand this presentation of the gospel, we also know about the blessings of the gospel and also about the gospel's impact upon our lives, and also the use of the gospel in the world around us. So as we're together the next 2 days, may I just encourage you to remember how blessed we are that God gave us the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to realize that we stand here today as changed people who have been saved by the power of God, that God in his grace desired that we might know him, and that he gave us Jesus Christ the Lord, and that we have the opportunity even this morning to talk about it's all about Jesus. I'm reminded today, as I think about it being all about Jesus, that it is a privilege to share this afternoon and a huge responsibility to talk about our Savior today. And so I would desire today, and I'm sure you would too, that you and I together might see Jesus. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We want to look at one verse this afternoon in our time, to be reminded about this wonderful truth about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, I'd like you to notice what it says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our opening comments today, I just want to mention just a few things with you so you're thinking where I am this afternoon. First of all, it's this, is that Jesus is the central person of the gospel. Jesus is the central person of the gospel. It is all about God's redemptive purpose. It deals with Jesus, his person, and his work. It is all about who he is. We read in the scriptures concerning his wonderful salvation that he provides, but that we understand that Jesus is the one who came at the express purpose of the Father to give his life as a ransom for sin. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and is coming again. I'm reminded in the scripture in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 where it says this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those who are lost. And I realize that individually I was a lost person. I can remember so well the day that Jesus saved me as a young boy at 5 years of age. And I realized how lost I was even as a young boy. And then Jesus came. He opened my heart to the truth, and I am so thankful now that 60 years later that he's still that faithful God who continues to save and continues to satisfy. I'm reminded today from the scripture in John chapter 1 and verse 1, these words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We simply understand that Jesus Christ is God. He is the eternal living Word. The verse tells us about his pre-existence. It tells us about the intimacy that he had with the Father, the relationship that was there. But he also tells us in that verse the equality with the Father, that he is one with him. So would you take some moments with me this afternoon to think about this wonderful Word, the Word Jesus Christ the Lord. I'm reminded today, as I think through the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 1, the very first verse that says this, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days spoke to us by his Son. God is speaking to us today through his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, who is the Word. And as you notice with me in verse 14, I want you to see a couple of statements that are given to us concerning him being the Word. First of all, we see the incarnation. The incarnation, when Scripture says they became flesh. When we think of that word became, we understand that it emphasizes Christ taking on humanity. I'm reminded of the scripture in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. You know it so well. It says this, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And what we simply understand is this, it's a definite historical event in time when God the Son in total deity came to dwell within a human body. It was a voluntary act, all part of the purpose and plan of his Father. It is all about Jesus Christ. He became man in complete perfection, literally God in flesh. I'm focusing now on the thought, the taking on of flesh. Jesus Christ was in a permanent union with humanity. Think with me about the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do you remember what they say? "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." We see in the emphasis in that scripture is that Jesus Christ took on flesh for a purpose. It was a purpose that he might die. What's the scripture tell us simply? One of the reasons why he had to die was to take care of Satan, the enemy of believers, the enemy of God. His death, by his power, it took away the pain of Satan in our lives. But we also see his death was ultimately for us, to release us who were continually fearful about death because we were subjects or slaves to sin and self and the system of the world and to Satan. And Jesus Christ came in the flesh to do a great work for us and to totally change our lives. I reminded the scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, where we see it says, "This is the mind which should be in you also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." The incarnation, Jesus Christ became flesh. I remind of the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2, which simply says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us as a ransom to be testified in due time. It's all about Jesus, the Word, the one who came as the incarnate one. He became flesh so that he could die for us. Aren't you thankful this morning for that truth, or this afternoon for that truth? Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ came? And as we understand about this Word, he became flesh for the express purpose of dying for us. I want you to notice, secondly, with me, concerning the influence, the incarnation, but now the influence. The Scripture simply says he dwelt among us. Those words, dwelt among, simply means to pitch a tent, to live in a tent. I can remember when I was a young boy, back in Minnesota days, I had the opportunity of being at Bass Lake Camp in Minnesota. And what I loved as a young boy was staying in tents. There was something about staying in a tent. It just felt like you were rustic out there and all the noises that came. And I realized that it was temporary. But when I became a young adult, and I was in my first ministry, I had the responsibility of going tenting with Awana boys. And that used to be just torture for me. I realized that tenting was no longer my lifestyle. And I can still remember how hard that ground was. And I can remember going out with a youth group and being in tents. They loved it. I hated it. And it seemed like every time that there was a rock where I was laying, and it was a terrible night's sleep. I am so thankful that tenting was temporary. What we see in this scripture concerning Jesus, that he came to dwell among us, simply is this, is that he took up residence for a short time. It was temporary, but it was purposeful. We understand it relates back to Old Testament scripture and the wilderness wanderings, that God's people were tent dwellers. In fact, God's place, his home, was also in a tabernacle, in a tent. And it was there that the glory of the Lord shone. As we understand even today that the scriptures teach us concerning the glory of God, but as we see it today in this scripture that Jesus Christ came for a short time, when he had accomplished the Father's will, he would go back to heaven. The Word, the incarnate one, became flesh. The Word, the influence, he dwelt among us for a short time. It was temporary, but it was purposeful. He came to die for people like you and me. I'd like you to notice, secondly, with me, not only the Word, but now we see the witness in verse 14. And we see it as we see those words, the interest, we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. Well, who's the we? Well, it's speaking about John and the other disciples. And we see that word beheld, it simply means to see with the eye. It was not through visions or dreams, but it was actually face to face. They saw Jesus Christ for who he is. I'm reminded of what John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. You know them well. Listen to what it says. That which was from the beginning, relating back to verse 1 of chapter 1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. We have been with Jesus. We have seen him. We've touched him. We've heard him. And we understand who he is. He is the eternal God. He is the eternal Word. And who he says he is. We have tasted of him. And what a difference it makes when it comes to us, as John is speaking about there in 1 John, that it makes all the difference. We have fellowship one with another because of Jesus. We beheld his glory. We've seen it literally and physically. We want you to know that he's man. As the world saw him, he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. We also know him as God. We saw his self-manifestation. All that he is in himself, his person, his work, his words. He is the God-man. We want you to know about his humanity. We saw his lowliness. We saw his suffering. We didn't see the splendor. But we saw a man who was willing to humble himself to become a man. We saw it through his miracles. Look at John chapter 2, when it's talking about the glory of God. I want you to notice with me at the wedding of Cana. Look at verse 11, what it tells us. The beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And what did he do? Read it with me. He manifested his glory. And what happened? His disciples believed in him. Look with me to John chapter 11. I want you to notice another miracle that Jesus Christ did when it came to resurrecting Lazarus from the dead. You remember with me at the first part of verse 11, he'd heard news that Lazarus had died. But in verse 4, this is what Jesus said. He said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." He manifested, we have seen his glory. You can also understand that as you think about in John chapter 12 and John chapter 13, that even through his death, that through his cross, the hour was to come that the Son of Man would be glorified. But I'm also reminded this afternoon concerning the disciples, Peter, James, and John, when they had the opportunity of being on the Mount of Transfiguration. We're reminded about that in Matthew chapter 17. When Jesus Christ revealed his glory before them. The scripture simply tells us he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And we see then the Father's endorsement. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear what he has to say." This supernatural change of appearance, Jesus Christ was illuminated before them. They literally saw the glory of God. And John simply tells us, we witnessed it. We beheld. We have seen his glory. I'd like you to notice, secondly, the intimacy that we see. You see it in the text, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father could be said this way, the glory as of the only Son from the Father. It could be said the only one beloved. But we understand that it defines the type of glory that Jesus communicated. It's his uniqueness, the character of his glory. It is the type that belongs totally to God the Father. And Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ is the unique one. He's the only one of his kind. His glory is not a reproduction, but it is totally genuine. He is the real thing. He is unquestionably God. He is unquestionably man. It is perfect deity. It is perfect humanity. And that is our Jesus. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. And then finally, I'd like you to notice with me the wonder. Simply stated, he had caught their attention. They were marveling together. They were standing in awe. They were ready to bow down because of the wonder of Jesus. And you'll notice with me the impression, first of all. The scripture says he's full of grace and truth. We see that word full simply means to be filled to capacity, that which is complete. This is who Jesus Christ is. As we think about his essence, his permanent, unchangeable character, the sum total of his power and attributes. I'm reminded in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19 these words, "It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." I'm reminded of the scripture in Colossians chapter 2, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Jesus Christ is the complete God-man. He is completely God. He is full to capacity. It is his essence. He is the permanent, it is his permanent, unchangeable character. I want you to notice in the text what it tells us concerning this fullness. There's two character traits that are given to us. He's full of grace. He continues to give what is not deserved. He is generous and gracious. Look with me at John chapter 1 and verse 17, what it says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." He is grace personified. He communicates his grace by his love displayed in action, what he does, what he's done. He is the God of grace and saves continually and sustains us through every situation. That's what he is. He's a God of grace. But I also understand that he is a God of truth. He is truth. He is totally reliable and trustworthy. He is in total opposition to falsehood. He is the essence of truth. It is his permanent, unchanging character. He communicates truth through his love displayed in his word. He is truth personified. He is the God of truth. I remind of the scripture in John 8, verses 32 and 36 that simply tell us, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." John 14, 6, you know it so well. Jesus said, say it with me, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Well, we stand in awe this afternoon in wonder, understanding that Jesus Christ is grace and that Jesus Christ is truth. Oh, that we might see Jesus. Notice with me the invitation. "But as many as received him." We look back to verse 10, and you'll notice with me there was no recognition. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And what does it say? The world did not know him. No recognition. I want you to notice there was no reception by his own. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But, verse 12 is so important, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be children of God. What does that tell us? Simply that it's a Godward salvation. That it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he's done. It's all about his person. It's all about his work. It's all about his giving us the gospel. And the scripture simply says that we can become children of God based upon what? Believing. Believing him. As many as receive him, as many as will believe in him, the scripture says, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. I reminded the scripture in John 20, verse 31, where it talks about his signs and miracles. It's really the theme of the book. It says this, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Isn't it wonderful to know how simple God has made it? To realize that it's by simply understanding the Bible truth, that it's simply to understand that Jesus Christ died, that Jesus Christ was buried, and that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. Why? It was for me. It was for you. It was because of our sin. Our sins separate us from God. But God in his grace provided Jesus. And he makes all the difference in the world. And you understand about it personally yourself. You realize what it means to know Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus. And the reception is for you and me. We can receive it by believing in the name of Jesus. Well, let's bring it home this afternoon. We ask ourselves the question, what can I apply to my life? It's the first session of our 2018 conference. Where's the application? What does it say to me? Well, simply stated, you've heard it before, it's all about Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it's all about him. He is the preeminent one and should be the priority of our lives. He is the perfect God-man, the only one of his kind that could completely save, the one who could pay the penalty for sin and bring satisfaction to our lives. See, God the Father did for us what we could not do for ourselves. There was no way that I could ever raise myself up to where God would say, hey, Chuck, you're good enough to get into heaven. There's no way that could ever happen. So God knew exactly what I needed. He knew exactly what you needed. And he provided Jesus Christ for us. See, God the Father needed Jesus. Jesus had to come. The perfect sacrifice. Perfect God. Perfect man. I'm reminded also that I needed Jesus. I'm reminded today with you that you needed Jesus. And I'm still reminded this afternoon that the world around us needs Jesus. The world that we rub shoulders with all the time, people in the streets, people in the stores, our neighbors who live around us. Do we see them from Jesus' perspective? that they're on their way to hell, that they need a Savior. Think about the person who talked with you about Jesus, who actually presented the gospel in your life. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was through a track or whatever it was. God uses people. And I'm reminded today that the world around us still is in dire need. And they need to see through our lives and through our testimony that Jesus Christ is the answer. Now I realize asking this next question is a difficult one because most of us are church people. Most of us are pastors and wives. Most of us attend church every Sunday. But here's the question. Have you personally responded to the truth of the gospel? There may be someone here this afternoon who has not done that yet. That this may be the first time you've heard that Jesus Christ, who he is, and that Jesus Christ, the express purpose of him coming, was to die for us, because we're sinners. It may be the first time we've heard that Jesus Christ could do that because he's God, perfect God, and because he's also perfect man. I just want you to know that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to understand also, God demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was for you. God invites you today to receive his Son. The only thing that you're required to do is to believe. Believe. If you've not done that as of yet, there are people all over this room who would love to share with you about Jesus Christ. The second question that I have for you today is this. It's also a difficult one because it comes right to where we are as individuals, as people who name the name of Christ. And the question is this: is your life consistent with the truth of the gospel? Do people around you know who you are? Do people around you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do people around you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the priority of your life? So challenging. What does the world see? Oh, that the world might see Jesus in us, that the world might see in me Jesus. It's all about life change. It's all about purpose. It's all about living a life that pleases Jesus Christ. That communicates that the world to the world that Jesus is the answer, and it communicates to the world that the gospel is what they need. It's all about Jesus. Jesus made the gospel possible. It's all about the gospel. Praise God that Jesus came and totally changed our lives. Oh, that we might see Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege of simply sharing the Word of God. One verse that we have read and talked about many, many times. Father, help us to be refreshed in the truth about Jesus. May you captivate our lives. May we be in that place that we're just ready to listen to whatever you want. And as we continue through this conference to understand the benefits of the gospel, may we be reminded it's all about Jesus. To you be the glory. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And there's no better way to start the conference than to be reminded that it's all about Jesus. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you so much. I would remind the council of 12 members that we'll be meeting down front as soon as this session closes. And then notice your program, 2:45, Ladies Coffee and Crafts, Fellowship Hall, Men's Session, Chapel, begins at 2:45, And that will take us right into the dinner hour. So we are dismissed. Council members, I'll meet you right down front. Thank you.